My dear friends, we are welcome to St. Mark's as we celebrate this Ash Wednesday together. The time of the year when we actually, strangely enough, meditate upon our sin. We actually think about the things that we have done wrong and not just the actual deeds that we do. A lot of times I think that's where we usually stop. But also the thoughts that bring us to those deeds, and then the values and the attitudes that we have in our heart, such as if somebody makes me mad and I misbehave because they made me mad, right? Now, whose fault is it? Well, mine, right? But they're the one that made me mad, right? But the attitude and the thought behind all that is that they exist to make me happy. That's their job in life, is to make me happy. And they failed, hence I get to be mean to them. The evil in our hearts goes so deep. It's not just the surface. When I teach it to the kids, we start with a watermelon. And I have a watermelon covered in mud in a pan surrounded by mud. And we talk about the sin in the world that's around us, and we get rid of that, and we say, deliver us from that evil. And then we take this watermelon, and we clean it all off, and we talk about the sins that we do, and we get that all cleaned off. And then I cut the watermelon in half and show it to the kids, and it's rotten to the middle. And the truth is that's us. Without Christ, we are absolutely rotten to the middle. And the thing about that is that if we take seriously our sin, if we take some time over this Lenten season to not just look at the surface stuff in our life, but look deep inside of us to see how the sin goes to our core, that's what the beauty of Lent is about. And isn't it fun to talk about the beauty of Lent, that we get to see our sin in all its glory? But here's the thing. Jesus says that he who is forgiven much is more grateful. And that's what we're going for this Lent. That as we identify our sin, as we see how absolutely messed up we are right to our core, that we will better understand what it means that our God forgives all of it. And that as deep as our sin is, his grace is more, that his forgiveness is complete, and that we will be filled with more praise and joy and thanksgiving because we will know the depths from which we have been rescued. So as we begin our service today, let us remember the day that we were brought into this family of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, and we ask that you would bless this Lenten season, Lord. As we contemplate our sin, as we look at our fallenness, as we see the depth of our depravity, Lord, and then look to you, the one who has redeemed us all. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful, Lord, as we confess our sins and bring our sins before you for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you would be with us this evening, Lord. Help us, guide our hearts and our minds so that we may learn and grow and know you and your grace better. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing.
For you.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In keeping with the confession that we have just made, the confession of the sins that we have committed, and the sorrow with which we regard our sin, I invite you to come forward at this time to receive ashes. In the old days, this is how they showed grief. This Job, when he was grieving his family, tore his clothes and sat in sackcloth and ashes, showing how broken he was because of what had happened. And we are encouraged to grieve over our sin in this same way, that the things that we do that bring dishonor to the God who loves us, that we would be grievously sorry and turn to him for repentance. Receive this, guys, listen. The sin is just the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Confessing our sin, looking at what we have done, acknowledging who we are and what is inside us is just the beginning. Because we've got great news. And that is Jesus came to free us from this sin. And that the death that Jesus died for us is complete. When he died on the cross, he died for all sin. that no matter how awful our sin, no matter how big our sin, his grace, his love, and forgiveness is more. And so upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, I announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, now I'm going to take some pastoral license here and change the order of the readings, just because it works better that way. First reading is Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 20. You ready for this? Listen carefully. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, this is rather clear, is it not? I mean, the idea is this. Does God want us to go out and live virtuous lives? Does he want us to take care of other people? Does he want us to sacrifice of our own so that we can be a blessing to other people that he loves? You know, does he want us to speak truth? Does he want us to encourage one another in our faith and in the tasks that God has given us to do? Does God have work for us to do on this earth? And the answer is, of course, absolutely he does. But are we to do these things in such a way as to bring applause to ourselves? Are we to do these very same deeds that we would or could do for God, instead do them so that we can be glorified? And if so, who are we worshiping? And even when we get into the season of Lent, even when we are repenting for our sins, there are ways that we can repent so that we look more righteous. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we can be extra sorry and extra mournful of relatively small things so that it looks as if we don't have any really big things. And we can try to gloss over all the real problems in our lives and make the so that the people around us will think even better of us. Is that the intention behind the repentance that God wants from us? See, the thing is this, Jesus, this relationship that we have with God begins with his grace and love for us, that when we were sinful and lost and utterly messed up, he in his unbelievable mercy comes to us and offers us a relationship with him, a relationship in which he provides us everything that we need and we receive from him. Well, everything, but especially the grace and forgiveness. But with that grace and forgiveness, the Holy Spirit who lives in us and guides us and helps us to have faith and believe and to grow in our faith. But not even just that. Now we have a relationship with the Father by which we understand that, but he created all things and sustains all things and provides us with all good things, protects us and guides us throughout our life. And we also have this relationship with Jesus, who is the one who continually gives us forgiveness from sins that we so desperately need because we do nothing but fail. And we live in this relationship where he is God and I am not. And I receive that relationship. And because of all that he has done for me, I want to return to him a life of worship, thanksgiving, and praise. A life that's all about him and all about what brings him glory. And in doing this, what happens is that we say at some point in our life, we look to God and we say, God, what can I do for you? After all, can I give God money and that somehow makes us even? He's saved us from eternal hell. He gives us purpose and meaning in our life. He's going to take us to paradise one day. What on earth can we give him that has anything close to the value of that? And the answer is nothing. And so we say, God, what can I do? And he gives us his law and he says, live like this. My child, because you are forgiven, because you belong to me, because you are one of my chosen children, live out your faith. We have all received from Jesus perfection. He gives us his perfect life. He gives us credit for all that he did and took from you all your sin and blame. And then he says this, as much as you can, make true what I have made true about you. In other words, live out the perfection that you have already been given. Now, are we ever going to do it? No. But are we going to work at it? Well, that is the question today. Because the thing is that if we don't actually examine our lives, it's going to be really hard to work at it. You know what I'm saying? If we just kind of, be busy, be too busy to really deeply think about the things that we're not doing right and the things that we're doing wrong. If we just keep ourselves a little bit too busy and instead just project health into the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, just show up at church. The deal is with church, here's the secret. You're only here for like an hour, two, three max a week, right? Can you fake it that long? But is that what God wants? Does he want us pretending and faking it? Or does the God who took our sin want us to be honest with him and lay that sin at his feet so that he can take it from us and restore our relationship with him? And so what he says is this, enough with the projecting, enough with the masks, enough with the pretending. Let's be real here. And when we do get it right, don't shine it for everybody to see. This is worship for God. Keep it between you and God. Right? So, we understand this now, right? The reason we're doing this stuff is because we want to praise God, and our job is to do the things that God asked us to do, to love the people that God puts in front of us, to speak the truths that we need to speak, to do the things that God has given us to do, and to not seek any kind of payoff for it before the other people around us, because we're not doing it for them, we're doing it for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 21 through chapter 6, verse 10. God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we may become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he said, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you." I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation. We have put no stumbling block in anyone's path, that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distress, in beatings, imprisonments, and riot, in hard work, in sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. All right, that's Paul talking. What's he doing? He's listing off all the sacrifices that he and his co-workers have made to do ministry to the people in Corinth. Does that seem a little dissonant with the last verse we read? Where it says, don't brag about everything that you've done. Don't wear everything on your sleeve. Don't put everything out there. Don't try to be, admired by others, but instead do your things in silence or in quiet, so that the God who knows knows the secret things will reward you. And so the question is Paul doing wrong? The answer, of course, is no. But the real question is, well, then what? Here's the thing. When God, engaged in our relationship with God, I'll start here. What is the law? When the Pharisees came up to Jesus and asked him, what is the summary of the law? What did Jesus reply? We need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So what God wants from us has two prongs to it, right? Our relationship with God and the relationship with the people around us. Okay, so here's the thing. When we were talking about the first verse, and we were talking about how we're supposed to do these things that God gave us to do, but we're supposed to do them quietly, not out in the open, so that we will be admired by others, right? Who is the person that would, benefit if you were to do it wrong? If you were to go out and be admired by others? It's about me, right? I want everybody to know everything I did so that you'll all think I'm a really awesome guy, right? But if we do this right, who are we living for? God. Paul, when he is going down this catalog of things that he has done, why is he sharing this list? So that everybody will think that he's an amazing guy? Or so that he can inspire his list, his hearers, to live a life worthy of their calling? Think of it like this. If you're a parent, are you going to pray in front of your children, talk about Jesus in front of your children, be caught reading the Bible, have those kinds of conversations in front of them, confess the things that we've done wrong in front of our children? Are we going to do these things? Why? Because we are trying to pass the faith on to the next generation, right? The sin comes in when we are trying to do these things for us. You understand? The God says, keeping the law is loving God and loving your neighbor, not my own self-interest, not worshiping myself. So is it good if you, as a more mature Christian, use examples to encourage people and inspire them to grow in their faith and to take more risks and to do things that God has called us to do? Yeah. Is it good to do our good in silence and quiet and secret and let God be the one who enjoys the fruit of our work? Yeah. But is it okay for us to live in a way that brings the attention on ourselves and makes us the center of attention? No. And so here's what I have for you today. You're going to be out in the world this week. And as you are out in the world this week, you're going to want to share things about yourself. You know? And the question I have for you, and the thing I want you to be meditating on and be aware of this week, is why are we sharing those things? Are we sharing those things because we want to bring attention to ourselves? Because we want the praise? Or are we sharing these things because we want to inspire others? And we want them to grow in their relationship with God? We want to help them to achieve something higher, something better, something that will then give praise and glory to the God who saves us all. Lent is a time when we turn inward and we think on our sin. One of the most prevalent sins out there is pride and wanting other people to think amazingly of us. Instead, we want people to think highly of the one who rescued us. That is the proper place. Now, what's going to happen when you find the sin? Is it going to be like, oh my goodness, that is really huge. That is really ugly. That is really awful. How could God love me? Is that what we do? No. We always go back to what we know. We find sin in all its ugliness, and we go back to what we know. Is this sin forgiven? Is Jesus bigger than this thing that I have done wrong? Can I take this sin to my Jesus and have it forgiven? And so this week, I ask you to meditate. I ask you to deeply take part in this Lenten season, that as our sin becomes greater, our worship of the one who has forgiven us becomes even more real for us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would continue to be with us. Continue to help us to grow in faith. Help us to know of your forgiveness to the very bottom of our soul, so that we will not be afraid to look deeply into the sin in our hearts, so that we can expose these things to you and you can bring us peace and healing. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. In your name we pray. Amen. As this is a small service, as we leave today, I ask you to leave your offerings in the boxes that are affixed to the walls in the back of the in the lobby of the church. Let us now stand and confess our sins using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. for the incredible forgiveness that you have offered us. Lord, I pray that we would be able to respond to that forgiveness by looking deep within us, Lord, and being unafraid of what we might find, knowing, Lord, that you already know it's there. Help us, Lord, to be able to bring you in to every corner of our hearts so that we may more closely, Lord, walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for continuing to be with each of us through every time of our lives, Lord. Life can be so crazy and so hairy, and Lord, it's so important for us at all times to remember, Lord, that none of the things that take us by surprise, none of the things that look so huge are intimidating or surprising to you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to freely and openly depend on you, Lord, to bring our to have our confidence, Lord, in you, knowing that you have only good things, Lord, for us, and that you are taking us to be with you. Lord, I pray that you would be with you would just continue to be with, Lord, all those who are struggling with sickness tonight. I pray that you would help Lynn to feel better soon, as well as many of the other people that went to Guatemala. Lord, I pray that you would bring them health and help them to get back to work and get back to the lives that you have for them. Lord, I pray that you would help or continue to be with, Lord, all those who are serving us in our school, all the teachers who work with these children, Lord, and continue to pour into them. I pray that you would fill them up so that they have grace and love to share, and that they would be able to pass on this incredible relationship with you that we all have and that we all need to live. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless your people in every way. And we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. My dear friends, receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. One last thing I wanted to mention tonight as we go our ways. I mentioned that Lent is the season where we are to meditate on our sin. And we have a hard time meditating about anything. And the reason is our lives are so busy. We run from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next without end, crash, fall into bed, and then get up the next day and do it again. And so if we are really going to meditate on our sin, we probably could use some help. And this is where the custom of fasting comes in. Fasting is giving something up that's annoying, all right? If you give up, like, food, like you're not going to eat something, you're going to be hungry all the time. And that's annoying, all right? And the benefit of the annoyance is that every time you think about how hungry you are caused to remember what it is you're supposed to be thinking about, right? So I encourage you to take part in this. I encourage you to find something annoying to give up. Think of something that you do often throughout the day. Drink coffee, soda, whatever. I mean, something that is like persistent, something that you're going to constantly bump into. And when you bump into that thing, you are constantly reminded, what is it that I have done? What are the things that I have said since the last time I had my little moment to think, that I have fallen short of what God would want from me, and what caused me to do that, what values, what attitudes, what is in my heart, and that the persistence of this will cause us to actually contemplate far more deeply than we otherwise would. I love the old traditions when we use them well. If we just do it because we always have, it's not nearly as beneficial. But if we use it in a way that causes us to truly exercise the contemplative nature of this season, it can be very, very valuable. And so give it some thought. There's no law that says you have to do it. It's just an opportunity that we have in something that has served Christians for thousands of years. Blessings on your evening as you go your way. Thank you for worshiping with us tonight.